This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So the question, who cares? That image speaks to me. I had several images that spoke to me in this regard. And I think it's appropriate for us who came out of a season of lockdown again, being isolated, being set aside, not being able to connect with people as we used to. And it accentuates something that we've been experiencing for a long time in our generation. It's a sense of isolation and loneliness. And I want to speak into that, but I'm not going to go in the area which I think you think I'm going to go into. So the word spoke to me this morning. But the question is, who cares? Like, really? Who cares about you? I know that's the core of Psalm 8. And I know, as a Christian, you're going to say, God cares, God loves me. Who knows who cares, you know? Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who set your glory above the heavens? O God, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You know, we spoke about that. I want to ask, besides God, or through who God, through whom is God caring for you? Who cares about your life? Who cares about your dreams? Who cares about the things that you grow to love? Who cares about your relationships, those around you? Who cares about your future? Who cares about your debt, your money? Who cares about your pursuit of this world? You know, who can you write down the names of the people that really care about you? And I don't think the list is not as long as you think. And the question that I'm going to ask is the same question. It's like so many times someone would ask you, did your parents love you? And you're going to say, of course they love me, because it's their job to love me. You know, very few people would say their parents didn't love you. And I'm going to say, how did you know they loved you? How? How do they love you? Who cares for you? How do they care for you? How do they show interest? It's amazing. So don't get depressed. We're going somewhere. The question, the next one there, the slide, thanks, Kewen, is in the core of this picture, you know, in a world where everyone is looking at their phones or looking at their screens, even though we're in the same room, people are absolutely distracted. It's amazing if you think about it that we are the most connected generation ever, ever. The number of people that you can connect to instantaneously, communicate or hear from instantaneously is incredible. We are also the most loneliest generation. For the past 25 years, throughout Europe and America and all over the world in China, people have been writing their concerns about the pandemic of loneliness. And the pandemic of loneliness was accentuated during this time of lockdown because even the little people, the little effect of feeling connected, of being with someone, was lost in a season. It's amazing to be with one another this morning. Dale again, every time I say, Dale, it's so good to see you. And Dale would say, it is so good to be seen. And we all understand what Dale means when he says, it's so good to be seen. Because it is good to be seen. It's good to be with you. It's good to share this space, to share this moment, even if we have a conversation. It's good to share the space. We are wired with a desire. We're created with a desire for connection. Connection. Remember Jesus' greatest command, speak into our greatest need, to be loved and to love, to feel that I am significant, to feel that I'm secure in this relationship, to feel that I'm satisfied in this relationship, significant, satisfied, and secure. Greatest need. So it's the irony of the greatest connected generation ever is the loneliest generation ever. Because it doesn't speak into the need, the fact that I'm connected to you, that I know you. Even that I have a coffee with you doesn't necessarily speak into the need of connection. We are the most informed, yet the most confused generation ever. Not just because of the amount of data, but because of some sense of context of my life, of what I'm doing with this information. The most entertained and yet the most depressed generation ever. And we are the most secured. We pay the highest price in terms of security in every sense. If you would calculate, I want you to calculate, try to calculate how much security costs you, even if you live with someone else. How much, what a great portion of our money goes to security worldwide and defenses, into policing, into courts, into private security companies, into internet security companies, into financial security companies, into auditors, into everything. We are the most secured in terms of what we do to secure ourselves, but we the most anxious generation ever, statistically. The greatest number of people struggle with anxiety. And the question I'm going to ask again is, I think that we have misplaced our real need somewhere else. And the real need, I think, I'm going to position to you today, is the need, I'm going to speak into the need of feeling, do I matter to you? To whom do I matter? Because I feel secure if I know that you matter. I feel significant if I know that you matter. My heart is satisfied in this relationship if I know that I matter to you, a longing for connection. The next slide you can just put up. I'm not going to go into it too much. Is there anyone who cares about my desires? Is there anyone who cares about my dread, what I fear? Is there anyone who cares about what I delight in, my greatest joy, my greatest pleasure in life? Is there anyone who cares about my greatest dreams in life, where I'm going to? And is there anyone who cares about my duty, my sense of purpose, my sense of pursuit in this world? And I want to ask you to think about that for a moment. Who knows who cares about these things? Because the cost is high. I put it there in the next slide, and if I put up a picture, you're all going to know what I'm speaking about. And I so badly didn't want to put a face there because I could put 50 faces there of people just in the last 5 years. The greatest well-known Christian leaders or leaders, I can place a few of your friends there. I can place a few of your leaders in your life that you knew, that you looked up to and longed to become like. And somehow there's a great falling away. This person's life falls away. Or you discover that there was so much fraud or hypocrisy or pretense in this person. And it's not as though this person was evil in his or her heart per se. Generally not. But generally, there was something that took this person out. Something small. A desire that was unmet, anxiety that was not addressed, a passion that was not kept, or a carelessness which was not called out. Something which took this person out absolutely by heart. I know that I need someone to care about me. I need someone to ask me about my dreams, my desires. I need someone to ask me about my sense of duty. I need someone who asks me. I need a keeper. I need someone to look after me. And it's amazing, if we live in close community, there is a great, even if someone doesn't ask these questions, but if you live in great proximity with people who know you well, we know the saying, I can fool some people some of the time, but I can't fool all the people all of the time. It's not possible for me to live a lie completely. Somewhere something's going to come out. But the greatest desires, the greatest dreads, the greatest passions, the greatest sense of duty in my life, that drifts me in my life. And I need someone to watch of where my life is going. This scripture that was in my heart this morning, just before we go to the scripture, let me just show this slide. Because it looks so cool and I made it. And I just thought we'd have to put it up there. The question I want to ask before we ask who cares for me and what can we do about that, is I want to ask the question, do you care for yourself? Do you matter? The things in your life, does it really, really matter? Doesn't matter what happens with your dreams. Doesn't happen where your desires grow to or where your passions fade. Doesn't matter where your purpose is. Does it matter to you? Because the thing is, if you really recognize it matters, you know, the things, and I just put two words up there because it starts with a P and I'm a pastor and I'm going to speak about what's precious to you, what's perilous to you. Those two things. What do you want to hold on to and never, ever lose? What are the things that you want to hold on to and preserve that you will never, ever lose? Do you know what those things are? Looking at my wife here, my two kids next door, what this speaks about my calling and my purpose in life, what this speaks about my obedience to Jesus, about the most precious things to me, what this speaks about my desires for the city and my whole purpose orientation in life. You know, this is precious to me. And I know that it's vulnerable because I have seen so many others fall, and I have in my past seen myself fall. I know that this that is precious to me is vulnerable, is not eternal, is not perfectly secure. Because what I do with my life determines whether this remains close to my heart and dear, whether this remains pure. What is precious to you? Also want to put up the question is, what is perilous to you? What is dangerous to you? What do you and should you fear? What do you and should you hate? I'll get to that a bit later. What are the things that you really hate? And you know, there's a story that comes back. I was reminded of it the other day again. I was in grade 6, and so senior in high school, and grade 6, grad, standard 4. And I remember getting news from the lady, the couple. There was a psychology couple that was our small group leaders in the church that I was in, the Reformed church that I grew up in. It's one of those couples that you love this family of five. We, the three brothers were nearly the same ages as these other children. We were close to them. This lady was also my Sonderskooltannie. Not Sonderskooltannie, my Kinderkranstannie. So every Friday, all the kids would go to her house, and there would be a Bible study and everything like that. So it was a family that spoke into my life, and she was someone who really, really cared. And the next moment, we got a call, and my parents set us down and say, listen, this couple is getting a divorce because this Tani fell in love with one of her patients and just walked out on the family suddenly. And I can remember being shaken up so badly in my life because I would never think this. And there's a loss not just to the family but to the whole community. It shook me so deeply that still today, 35 years later, 36 years later, every time that there's a story on TV or movie and there is a betrayal. You know, they always put it up. This is bad, the husband who has this bad wife, evil wife, and then he kisses another girl, and everyone goes, yeah, yeah, and I go, no, no. It shakes me up so badly. I can't watch those scenes because of what he does to my spirit, because of, this is precious. I know what that's a, you romanticize that, but it's so precious. This, everything is falling apart. The pain that I felt was just, and I knew that I was on the side of this. What are the things that is precious to you? And what are the things that are perilous to you? Do you care enough to respond to those? Do you care enough to do something, to watch your heart? And that's the invitation, I think, that the writer of Proverbs gives to us in this well-known text. 10 scriptures I could have used. This one speaks into the heart of the matter. He says, above all else, the top priority in your life on earth, the top priority of your everyday endeavors, the top of your list of activities, of priorities, top of a list of things that you do, make sure that you do one thing. Guard your heart. Watch over your heart. Take note of what's happening inside of your heart. Watch it. Care for it. Preserve it. Because it is precious. The fact that he says guard your heart means it's vulnerable. And we know, we've lived long enough to know that it's vulnerable. It can be pain. But he says you watch your heart. Losi anamensa it. Watch your heart. Because it says, from it flows the issues of life. Because what happens in your heart sets your whole life on course. It directs the course of your whole life. The things that you love, the things that you hate, the things that you dream, the duty, the sense of calling, the purpose that you pursue, everything happens in here, and it sets us like a river. It's like a topography of earth. The river will flow whatever does this, whatever your heart bends, it's going to flow there. So he says that. So this is my thing that I want to share, talk about this morning. I want to ask the question, who cares? I'm going to start with, do you actually care for yourself? Do you care about your life? Then you should take note what's happening in your heart. And this is what I want to say. I'm going to find, I have two friends that I'm very vulnerable to. Let me start backtrack a little bit. So when Magriet married me, long time ago, I can still remember. Okay, but a long, long time ago, Magriet, we got married, and I was a bit of a wild card in a sense. I really love Jesus. I love the church. I love everything of God. And Magriet knew me well for 5 years before we started dating. And So she knew me well, and she knew my vulnerabilities in a great sense. But the reason why she said, and it was so beautiful, she said, the reason why I married Ross, she said it at a marriage prep a year or two after we got married, the reason why I was confident to marry Ross is because of his friends. Close friends with me in the Air Force, with me in university, with me when we planted the church. So our friendships came about 10 years by that time. And Marit said, the reason why I was so confident to marry Ross is not just because of Ross, but because of the guys who had his back. And her words was obviously, and if he would ever mess up, they would be the ones who beat him up. I don't have to do that. So there's a sense of security of, I'm marrying a man who is secure in his life. Now it's 20 years later. And, well, we haven't been married for 20, but a little bit more than 15. And my friends, like myself, no longer live in Pretoria in the church that we planted with all our friends. We've scattered all around the world, literally all around the world, like your friends. So accountability for me, a sense of security, a sense of finding someone who asks me the hard questions, has to become intentional. Because I don't live in the same space and they don't live. And it's fine to say that for they can check in on me, but one stays in Australia, one stays in Poland, one stays in UK, one stays in Australia on a small island next to Australia. You know, people stay all over the world, so I can be connected. But the point is, it's so much more effort than to find someone who looks me in the eye and say, let me ask you the hard questions. And this is what I'm talking about. If you were, and this is what I asked my friends, these are the four things that I want them to ask me. These are the four things that I want them to ask me, because it's possible for me to have coffee with my friends, to gym with them three times a week, but they don't know what's in my heart, because that's not the context of the conversation, unless we make it the context of the conversation. So I've got to watch my heart. From it flows the issues of life, my devotion to Christ, direction of my life, my desires of my heart, and who is dearest to me. So Willem, this speaks so much into, and you'll see the image. What I'm saying is, speak so much into the word, the prophecy that you brought this morning. Maybe the next slide, Kewen, please. The questions that, because I love myself, I tell my friend, I want you to ask me these questions. You must check on me, because I know this is my vulnerability. Just because I served Jesus 20 years ago when we planted the church doesn't mean that's where I am now. Paul says, I forget everything, all my accomplishments of the past, and I stretch myself out today because I'm gunning for that goal. At one point, Paul said to his friends in the church in Corinthians, he said, there it goes. I'm going to struggle to find the direct quotation, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says that I discipline my body and I keep it under control, because I don't want to lose or to be disqualified for my prize before Christ Jesus. He says, I'm watching myself. I've got to watch myself every day, today, because today I'm living, and it doesn't mean that just because I love Jesus in the past, I do. The question that I want to ask my friends must ask is, do you still love Jesus? Are you still in Christ? Are you still in Christ? I know that you prayed a prayer when you were 14 years old, Ross. I saw when you prayed that prayer again when you were 21. Ross, are you still in Christ? Are you living in Christ? And if you are in Christ, and this is what I love from Paul's letter to the Philippians. He says, my whole obsession in life for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In chapter 3, which I quoted earlier, he says the one thing, but one thing that I do today, one activity that governs every day, is the fact that I stretch myself out today for the high call of God in Christ. I'm reaching out to him today. And you know it. Life becomes busy. Life becomes cluttered. Even church life, church activity becomes a routine. It's possible for any relationship to fade and you go through the motions, but do you still love me? I remember a song that Dale and Karin sang to each other, and it was a precious moment for them at one of the shofar formals, where in the old days, we could touch one another in public and dance without masks. I know it's shocking, but it happens, you know? And they were singing beautifully to one another as you don't bring me flowers anymore, you know, and speaks into the, do you love me? How do you show you love me today? Am I still precious to you? And the question that I want my friend to ask me is, are you still in Christ, Ross? Do you still love him? What does he say to you? What do you hear from him? And not just what do the other guys, the sermons that you listen to. What do you hear from him? What is he saying to you? Are you still connected to him? Is your heart still open towards him? Do you still love him? Is he still the love of your heart? Do you still receive love from him? It's a really important question. Guard your heart, because what you love sets the course of your life. Second question, because I care for myself, I ask my friend to do this one thing for me. Please, will you ask me whether I am still content in my heart? Is my heart satisfied, or is it longing for other things? Is it longing for other things? Am I happy with my money? Am I happy with my relationship with my wife? Am I happy with my call that God has given me? Is my heart at peace? Or am I vulnerable because there's an unmet desire in my heart? Do I love other things? Because other things will set my course in another direction. And this is so beautiful to me. You know this text well. The cares of this world, Jesus said, when the seed is sown, even though it grows up in soil, but if the soil is filled, cluttered with other things, he says, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, it will make the word unfruitful. And the deceitfulness of riches speaks into the fact that the love for money and the concern of things that shouldn't concern me. The question that I want to ask my friend is, Ross, is your heart still pure in terms of your love for money and comfort? And this is one of the biggest things. So you'll see I've got three slides on this topic because I want us to get this one wrong. Because this is the question our friends need to ask me the whole time when it comes to, are you content in your heart? Is your heart still on course? There are three things that John says when he speaks about the fleshly desires. He qualifies it nicely. And I think in our generation of social media, we can see it well. The lust of the flesh, you know? Do you love for sex and sexuality? Is your heart content where you are? Because if it's not content and where you are, if there are unhealthy desires, if your passions are unruled, it's a beautiful Peter writes, your passions being unruled. If it is, it will derail your life. It's got the danger of derailing your life. Someone asked me the questions before it becomes a problem. Ross, what do you dream about? What do you find yourself daydreaming about? Who do you find yourself daydreaming about? What are the things that you dream? What are the Jones doing that you feel, we're so poor because we don't have this, you know, we are so this and this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. What did Jesus say when he was walking through the wilderness and he was hungry? He said, my dad knows. My Father knows what I need. And I'm happy and content with what he gives me. He's aware of where I am. And I comfort and I still my soul. Psalm 130. I still and I comfort my soul before God like a weaned child. I comfort my desires, saying that God knows what I need. And I know that he's aware of everything, and I'm happy for this. I'll be satisfied with what he gives me. My portion is well. The Lord is my portion, he says, as well. So in my flesh, and this speaks about our appetites in every sense, sexual, food, drink, all the stuff, the pleasures in this world. Lust of the eyes speaks about the greed for things that I don't have. I want more money. I want more stuff. My heart is not satisfied because I need something more to make me happy. And then the pride of life. Amen. I think we don't need anything. The social Facebook thing, you know. How obsessed are you about the fact that people see me and applaud me, you know? How obsessed are you about the fact that, you know, we live in a generation that everyone, I think it's always been an issue, but I think the social media has made it possible for everyone to be seen. So we want to be famous. Want to be rich and famous. I love Corneille Becker. He always says, Dr. Corneille Becker, he says, before I met Jesus, I wanted to be rich, beautiful, and famous. And now that I found Jesus, I want to be rich, beautiful, and famous for Jesus. So what does it say? It says your heart hasn't changed at all. Your heart hasn't changed at all. You are not content to be loved and celebrated by him and with what he gives you. So we want something else. And we know this because the names of the people that we know that no longer worship with us, the leaders that no longer stand in front of our churches and other places, and the people whose relationships fall apart because of these three things. Because they have grown to love something else, someone else, or themselves too much. So their heart, the course of their life changes. This is real. It will be worth a while. We don't do notes anymore because we're bright and you're going to make a note afterwards. It's amazing. But it's necessary for you to just make a note of the things in your life that you want to ask your friend specifically. Will you please ask me about this one thing? Because this one thing, I know what's precious to me and I know what's perilous to me. This one thing can take it all away. This one thing I hate. I'm afraid of this thing. And I want to bring it to you, to God in prayer. Help me deal with it. Moving on a little bit, let your character be free of covetousness, Jesus said. Because he said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And then he answers beautifully. The rest of the verse there just speaks about the content and the safety of the shepherd that loves us. Find myself on the page. My friend, will you please ask me, next slide please. Will you please ask me about my course in life? Please ask me about my course in life. There's this scripture. There are a few scriptures when you read the Bible that you should hear music in. And sometimes the music goes like, da, 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 something like that. Just an eerie thing, like a dangerous, like an ominous music setting to the, and one of those verses is from Philippians, is from Colossians chapter 4, and in Philemon 1 verse 24. The same verse happens, where Paul writes to friends of his about a ministry partner called Demas, who was the brightest of his students, one of the guys with him, and then he just writes a letter a few years later, and he's just saying to them, okay, Demas has left us, because he fell in love with the things of this world. And it's one of the things where you go like, ooh, here's a man who was a ministry partner with Paul, just with that ministry partner and his call in life. And the reason why he fell away was not because God called him to something else, but just because he started loving other stuff and it was difficult. Do you know how many times myself in ministry have been tempted with this thing? Do you know how many of our friends in eldership have been tempted and similar things, because life is difficult at times. Life is really difficult. And I can be tempted to do other things because truthfully, there are many things that I can do. There are many things that you can do. There are many things. You have gifts from God, but you also have a calling from God. And the point is you can choose what you do with your life. And when things get tough, I need my friend and I want to ask him, Ross, are you still staying the course of what the Lord has called you to do? Because there are many opportunities and many open doors that will come your way. And we know that it's not God. God's not the only one opening doors for ourselves. Sometimes we kick it open and sometimes the devil opens it for us. And it's a distraction. The point is to move us off track. The question is that I want my friend to ask me, Ross, are you still on course with what God has called you to do? Are you still moving in the right direction? Yes, Paul, I could quote five of his scriptures here. But the scripture on the way to Jerusalem, where now we will be bound, he says, I don't count my life as any value or precious to myself, only that I may finish the course. Paul, are you still on course? Paul says, yes, I'm still on course. I'm still where I'm going with my life. Ask me, where are you moving with your life? And the question that you should ask me next is, so what are you doing today that moves you in that direction? What are you doing today that moves you in that direction? Because another sickness that we as humans have is if we've got a dream, but it's absolutely disconnected from my activities today. Absolutely unconnected. I know what God calls me to do. You know how many times I've heard people say, oh, Ross, I feel I have a call for ministry. And this guy prophesied and said, I will stand on a stage with thousands of people worshiping God, yeah? You know, I'll stand on the stage and I'll be so famous for Jesus. And then the question, you know, you ask him is, so what are you doing today if God calls you to that? Why do you think God said that to you? And what are you doing about that? And you know, if you know anything about me, it's all about intentionality. What is God doing? My question is, what is your course? And how are you responding to that? How are you responding to what God calls you to do? I just want to say with that slide as we're moving over, Mkuni Burger, do you remember what he said to us last year at the camp, Prof. Mkuni Burger? He said there was a time in his life where he retired from being the head of a big church movement in the country. And he said it was the toughest term. I think it's true to say it's the toughest term ever in that church denomination. And he was the head of the movement there. And he was just retired for a month, and they called him to an urgent meeting where they, please come, Mkuni, we need your advice. And he goes like, ugh, I thought it's over, Jesus. I thought I did my bit, and now I can chill with my life and go, you know, do the easy stuff, writing books, because that's easy for him. And then he said, what I noticed is whenever I follow Jesus, I will always walk into trouble because Jesus is the one always walking into a crisis to save. So when I follow him, I will never escape the storm. Just want to throw it out there. Are you still on course? It's probably going to lead you into a storm, and it's fine. I want to ask my friend the last question. My friend was asked me, please, Ross, are you still connected? How is your bond? How is your heart towards your wife? And how is your bond? What does it look like? How is your heart towards your friends? What does it look like? How's your heart towards your colleagues, those who work with you, with your family? How are your connections? Talk to me about connections. Because you know and I know, while we're worshiping, I saw someone who has a heart, but there seems to be a peg of wood, a chip of wood in it, and it got grown into it, and it's callous, and it's hurting. And to pull that thing out is going to be difficult. There's a sense of a callousness and a bitterness which set into someone's heart. And that's the type of questions I want my friend to ask me. Ross, how is your heart towards those around you, the leaders around you? How is your heart? Because it sets the course of your life. You don't have an option to have a heart that grows bitter or cold. As a Christian, we are known by our love. As a Christian, we're known by our devotion, our faithfulness. And I love what this Romans says, is love not with pretense, but with truth. So don't pretend to love, but love from your heart. Let there be compassion and kindness. Let there be generosity. Let it be known. Humility, that you love, regard the other more important than yourself. How is your love? And I want my friend to ask me those questions because I know that in the busyness of life and the bumps of life, it's possible for me to become callous or cold because it's easier to step away. It's easier to not care. It's easier to just go through the motions. It's much easier. But because I follow Jesus, there's no question for me. My friend, if you care for me, ask me, how is your heart? Do you forgive? Do you bear with the burdens of others around you? So these are the questions that I want my friend to ask me. But I know, I'm going to ask you, I started with the question, who cares? I'm going to turn it around on you. Who do you care about? Who do you actually care about? There are many people in your life. There are many, many people in your life. There are many connections in your life. Who do you sincerely care about? Because we know the scripture in the next one, you know, in the busyness of life, we should stop at some point and ask the question, turn to one another and ask the questions, the hard questions. Because if we care about someone's life, we should care about what's happening inside of their heart. And the question is, we know this text well. God came to Cain and said, Cain, where is your brother Abel? And Cain was doing a bit of an irony there because his brother was a keeper of goats and a keeper of sheep. And he said, am I the keeper of the keeper? You know, what do you ask me? And the Lord's quietness is, yes, Cain, I'm asking you because you are their brother's keeper. So my question is, who do you care about? To whom are you a brother's keeper? To whom are you a brother's keeper? Because accountability goes both ways. There's someone that you care about that you need to ask them, tell me, are you still connected to your family and your friends? Are you still in Christ? Are you still on course? Are you still content? Because watch over your heart. I want to help you watch over your heart. I want to help you keep your heart above all else because from it flows the issues of life. Chantal and myself spoke in this week, and it was hectic for me to just talk through old friends that used to work with Jesus. And it's not so long ago. It's 15 years. Used to walk with Jesus, used to worship with us, used to lead our small groups, used to speak into my life, used to inspire me, used to challenge me. But they fell in love with, as they drifted and moved to other places, they fell out of community and isolation, you know, it's not very good for their hearts. So they moved on. And it's bad because it's people that I really love about, but their hearts seem to close down to conversation. Can't talk to them anymore. And the distance doesn't help us either. Do you know any people like that? Have you been worshiping Jesus for a long time? Do you know people that have walked away? Can we see that that doesn't happen anymore? I have a choice, I know. But if someone talks to me about my heart and I give you permission to talk into my heart, it's going to be much more secure if you care enough to ask me the hard questions. I'll stay the course. I'll stay connected. I'll stay content. And I'll stay safe with Jesus. So I want us to pray. Just maybe keep that last slide up there. I want us to pray, and then I'm going to ask Theo and the friends to come forward. I'm going to ask two questions as we close. The first question, I see that not many of you have things to write down. That's fine. But if you have something to write down, I want you to write down who do I think cares about me that can ask me this question? Now, obviously, if I'm going to walk out of this church and you're going to go, Ross, I care about you. Tell me what's happening intimately between you and your wife and your heart. I'm going to go like, the Lord bless you and keep you far away from me. It's like, thank you for the intention, but there's a level of trust here. Who do you trust to care about you, to help you ask the questions? But just because many times I find that we want to help one another, but we don't know what to ask. So we end up drinking coffee and talking about sports, and you end up asking, do you still do your quiet time? Amen. And I'm like, that's good, but ask me about my wife. Ask me about my money. Ask me about my course in life. Please, it's important to me. It's all my life. So who do you know? Write down the name of the person that you want to ask you this question. Maybe one or two people. And the second thing is, Christian, jylle kom maar vorentoe kom. The second thing is, who is on your heart? Because it might be the same person that you want to account, want them to give account for. But maybe it's not. Who is the person that you want to ask a question, that you're concerned about? You want to ask them, I love you, man. Would you mind if I asked you about your heart and your direction in life? Would you mind if we have conversations about that? You can ask me the same stuff. So who are those people that you ask or want you to ask a question? Who cares? And secondly, maybe you're sitting here today and the Lord spoke to you about something, about what you love in your heart, about your connection in Christ, about your course and your purpose in life, and you know that you stop giving up on something in the future, or maybe your connections. Something spoke and you go like, God, that's not right. That area of my heart is not right. And Heinrich's invitation for us to pray and to heal. Trust God for meeting with you in that area. But like us, that when we're done with the worship, we're gonna pray and minister to one another here. If you don't have a need to minister, maybe just after the song, if you can just turn to someone and say, this is what I heard the Lord said to me, and this is what I'm going to do about that. Can we do that? Maybe, Matt, if you can dim the lights for them. Thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for the freedom in your house today, God, to meet with you and to listen to your word, to listen to the words that you spoke to us, the directions, the invitations, the confrontations. And God, I know that as humans I am, as a person, I am vulnerable. We are vulnerable, God. We need security. We need a sense of significance. We need to be satisfied in our hearts, God. We need connections, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you placed us into the family. I thank you even today, God, that you placed the lonely into families. And in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you will knit our hearts together for your sake, that love will not be in pretense, but love will be in truth, God, that we can care one about one another and ask the hard questions, God. We can find the one or two people. Lord, and I pray for people that are lonely today. I pray for divine connections, even people that we've forgotten about. Will you connect our hearts and knit our hearts together that we may remain secure in you and set on course? In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.